Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from old. Things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide from them, from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hopes in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God.
Thank you, Melissa. Okay, to what generation do you belong? What's your generational identity? We have some categories for these, and I've got kind of a quick kind of summary here for you. If you think about your generation being the people born approximately the same time you were born. And there is the silent generation, which today most of them are great-grandparents or the peers of great-grandparents if they don't have great-grandkids or grandkids. The boomer generation, many of them now are grandparents or the peers of grandparents. And the Gen X, as they're called, are kind of older parents and their peers, and then the millennials, most of them are younger parents now and their peers. You've heard these categories, right? So you're kind of saying, yeah, that's me. And then there's Gen Z, the emerging two adults. Some of them are young adults, or most of them now are teens. Gen Alpha, still children, and some still on the way by the categories that they have. And I've listed those yet to come because in this message series, we're not just looking at those generations that are alive. A big part of the conversation is those that are not yet here. And so we got to be thinking about them. And that's part of the reason why this is so important to connect and nurture the younger generations, because most of us will be gone when those generations to come along. But somebody's got to be here to point them to the Lord and to connect them. Now, you can look at details on the exact dates of those, but you kind of get the idea of, yeah, we are a bunch of different generations living here and in this community as a church as well. And each of us is part of a generation. One of my missions in this message series is to really connect with each generation in these messages and for all of us to understand, yeah, I've got a job. I've got an assignment. It's not just, hey, the church is those other folks, but this is me, and for the benefit of those that are coming as well. And sadly, what happens with these generational identities, you probably notice this, is oftentimes they disconnect us. It's like, no, I kind of relate to people like me. And it's one more thing in addition to education, economics, ethnicity, that people kind of go, no, I've just got my people, which is people my generation. And it's really a sign of immaturity. It's really leading to the impoverishment of God's people if we only connect with our generation. Healthy Christians, growing Christians, and thriving churches have this beautiful connection generation to generation. And this message series is going to be about that. God wants us as believers to connect with other generations of his people. And this generational connection is not just we go, oh, isn't it nice we're together and we like people that are older than younger than us. That's beautiful, but this is for the purpose of advancing God's work from generation to generation. And that's what we're considering in this message series. And Psalm 78 is kind of going to be the launching pad for all that we're doing here in this series. We'll go into a few other scriptures as well. But let's look at Psalm 78, verse 4, once again. There's always a generation before you, and there always will be a generation after you. So we're all in the midst of these connections. And we have a job. We have an assignment. You have an assignment. Could I tell you that? You have an assignment, which is to tell the coming generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord. Now, you got to know the Lord and consider his glorious deeds, so you got something to tell them. But that's such a huge part of what every one of us is assigned to be doing. Whatever your age, there's somebody coming after you. And there's somebody who's gone before you. And there are those who have set great examples and have great stories to tell. Listen to those stories. Observe those examples. There's others who have set lousy examples and don't have much to tell. And don't pay much attention to those, but care for those people. But we need to be, all of us, heeding this assignment in our connection generation to generation. You probably figure out that's where we're going with this series. And we got a reflection of some of those ages and stages there and those faces. We're going to consider today one aspect of this generation to generation connection that is there in Psalm 78, and it is that the purpose of all these connections is the God-centered work of this resulting in more and more people in current and coming generations to set their hope in God. That more and more people, because of our connections, relationships, listening, observing, telling, relating, would set their hope in God. And we're going to consider who wrote this psalm briefly, just so we know like what's going on here. We're going to talk about what this means. What does it mean to set your hope in God? And how can understanding that and living that help us to foster more people setting their hope in God? And then we're going to talk a little bit about how each of us can do our part. And again, I hope that everyone, either older, younger, well-developed in their faith, just newer in their faith journey, that will see, hey, there's a part I have in this. God wants generation of believers to connect so that more and more people in current and coming generations set their hope in him. Let's look first at these scriptures once again. Psalm 78, 5, 6, and 7. Just to get the sense of, yeah, here's what's going on. We'll talk more about this in the coming weeks. Chapter 5 informs us God has a plan. God has set this up this way. And of course, last week we heard from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And of course, verse 2, verse 7, verse 20 remind us this plan of God is that both parents and the believing community, it's not either or, it's both and, both parents and the believing community have a responsibility to pass on the message, to teach those coming generations. And then verse 6, it is this generation to connection of telling and knowing that the next generation might know them and children yet unborn. Notice this, kind of four generations represented here. Somebody tells them, they tell somebody, they've got children, and there's children yet to be born that are telling their children. Reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 2, too. The things you've heard in presence of many witnesses and trust to other reliable men, so they turn might teach others. Notice that. This is a discipleship principle. Getting told, telling, so others can tell what they've been told and do that faithfully. And then Psalm 78, verse 7. The purpose in all of this, so that they should set their hope in God, current and coming generations, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We'll talk more about that today and what that exactly means. You know, I've got an illustration. Just bear with me here. The very, very back of my backyard, it's kind of a long yard. I'm trying to get some water back there. And I've got hoses set up, one here, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And what would happen to me getting water to the backyard if I had the hoses laid out, but I didn't have them connected? And sadly, this is kind of what happens in church and in ministry, and sometimes even whole churches and ministries are all just one generation. There's no connecting of the hose from one to the next, to the next, to the next. For the flow of the work of God to be impacting those generation to generation. And so that backyard of those next generations, that backyard of those younger folks, How do we get the work of God flowing to them? It's through connection. It's through God-centered, biblically aligned connection. I want to encourage all of us to take heed to doing our part in this so that they too and others will set their hope in God. Let's briefly consider this guy, Asaph. If you notice in your copy of the scriptures, and it was there as the title, it's a psalm of Asaph, a miskal of Asaph. And the miskal is a, we think, an instructional psalm. So this is a psalm that's very much giving instruction, but it's a psalm, it's a worship song, it's a song to be sung, so it was a part of Israel's songbook and part of worship in Israel. And that's notable because Asaph was a worship leader. During the time of David, if you look back in 1 Chronicles chapter 25, another passage, you can see a lot of reference to Asaph. He was kind of one of the leaders of the worship leaders. Kind of like this might be the Jim Slowey psalm, you know, in our context, right? It's the worship leader writing a psalm and saying, hey, listen up, guys. There's some stuff I've noticed, and this is really important. We got to pass this stuff on. And Asaph uses 8 generational terms. Some are doubled up, but he's got fathers and then fathers and children and their children and children yet to be born. Notice that. And the generation, the coming generations and the next generations. All these are generational terms. He's very much considering that. And he's got a pretty long psalm here. So I've only taken a few verses today. We'll go into some of the rest of the psalm. But a lot of the psalm is sort of a recitation of the history of Israel. And then using that history to tell the coming generations about the greatness of God and why it is that we should trust in Him and set our hope in Him. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Psalm 78, verse 1. And we'll talk a little more about why does he say dark sayings? And like that seems kind of weird. We'll explain more about those things. One of the things I'm hoping to do is try to keep it concise, and we're all listening here, and so that we're really giving ear, as he says to do, not just to what's being said, but to take it to heart in our own relationship with God. This is about God advancing His purposes as we give attention to Him and His mighty work. And that's what Asaph is talking about, doing that generation to generation. And let's then look at what it means. What does it mean to set their hope in God? That's very profound kind of thought. It's God-centered, obviously, right? It's not like, oh, I've got a lot of other things I'm setting my hope in, and like God's kind of an afterthought, and like a little, kind of throw a little religion in there into my life. No, this is very much centered in God. And one aspect of this setting your hope in God, I would say, is what is the source of your help and your meaning? What do you wake up for? What do you say, yeah, when I'm old, that's what I'm living for? What do you say, you know, when I'm gone, that's what I hope they remember about me? If that is something other than God, you're not setting your hope in God. Your source of help and meaning, identity, is not found primarily in Him. The other idea of this setting your hope in God is something or someone you trust. We sang this song about there's nothing better than you, but we also sang about, like, I've searched the whole world over, and like, what else? It's like, is that one or thing in which you trust? God Himself. That's God-centered setting your hope in God. And the third aspect is shaping your life and behavior. When you set your hope in God, it's not just something like, yeah, I believe that stuff, but it actually is a part of your heart in the way that now the things you do and say and choices you make reflect the reality of setting your hope in God. Let me take you to Psalm 78, verse 7, and we're going to kind of mind this a little bit, that they should set their hope in God. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. If you want to look over there, you can. But one scripture that I think is really helpful in understanding setting your hope in God is a scripture, Proverbs 3:26. Proverbs 3:26. You might want to write that down or even turn over there if you want. And let me tell you a couple reasons why I think this is particularly helpful. It really gets at the idea of this word here, this Hebrew word, because it's the exact same Hebrew word to set your hope in. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26, at least the translation I looked at, the word is translated, that's the same Hebrew word, your confidence. Your confidence. So that's the idea of setting your hope in God. What are you saying? Man, that's the thing I am banking on. That is the one thing that gives me the sense of confidence. And you notice there in the context of Proverbs 3:26, if you're looking at that, the previous verses, the opposite of that confidence is fear. The opposite of that confidence is to feel insecure. But when your confidence is in God, you have this sense, a profound sense of security. You have this profound sense of that fear does not grip you because you have that confidence in God. Another scripture I would encourage you to bookmark is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. This is a New Testament scripture. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, of course, different language, but similar term. In fact, in the ESV, Paul writes to those that are rich in this world to not set their hope in riches, but in God. And whatever it is, whether it's money or technology or armies or your beauty or your youthfulness or your generation or your smarts, whatever it is, don't set your hope in that. Why? Because you can't. It will not provide true security. The only thing to set your hope in, the only one to set your hope in, is God. Set your hope not in anything else, anyone else, but in God, who richly supplies his people. And so that's this source of help, hope, and meaning, identity, purpose, God. That's this one that you trust, that provides a sense of security and drives out fear as we continue to reinforce that trust in him, and gives us a sense of confidence. And then that shaping of behavior. Look with me at the second part of Psalm 78, verse 18. Notice, so that they should set their hope in God, and as a result of that, not forget the works of God. What God has done, the mighty things he has done, the things declared in Scripture that we remind ourselves of and we take to heart. These things are a part of your thought process and your heart process. And then this results in the keeping of his commandments. It shapes our lives, our behaviors. So that's what it means to set their hope in God. And of course, you see that then if I'm telling somebody of a coming generation something that is not a part of me, that I haven't really set my hope in God, they'll probably say, well, that doesn't do anything. But if I am speaking of setting my hope in God, and they see that I have lived these out in my life, yes, imperfectly, but I am seeking to live by this setting my hope in God, then that resonates. That impacts. That's that connection to that next generation in that line of others too setting their hope in God. So let's talk about how we can each do our part. And we'll continue in this over these coming weeks. More examples, more scriptural truths. But I want to address three different generational groupings in general, and then one for all of us. I want to talk to those who are older generations, here in the room, others that may be live stream or catching word of this. And I want to speak directly and say, you still have a job. Your job is not done. Please, your job is not done. The community of believers desperately needs those of older generations to remain engaged in the connection and ministry all the way to the end. Until God takes you home, you still have a role. I want to speak also to the middle generations, those who probably have older parents and kids and are kind of feeling that pull of like, oh, and you know, what do I do here? How do I manage this? And I think it's a challenge, but you have to look both ways. You have to look and encourage and connect with and emulate the positive example of those who are older, and then you got to not become disconnected from those that are younger and coming along. You got to be looking there and looking there. Make sure that if you've got people in your life that are kind of on both sides of that, to look both ways and ensure those connections. If you're part of a church community, go, yeah, well, there's quite a few people that are older than me and there's quite a few people that are a lot younger than me, then look both ways and maintain those connections. And younger generations, are you with me? You're so, so vital, so valuable. You're a part of the church now. Please don't let anybody tell you you're the church of the future. You're the church now. We need you, and you, as you look and listen, are going to be instrumental in helping impact others as well in the coming generations. And of course, all of us are worshiping God together. One description I would give of the church is an intergenerational community of believers worshiping God together. And sometimes, you know, churches like, hey, we're the church for the people 30 to 35, you know, and or we're the church for people that are older. And it's like, you know, if that's all that lives around you, I guess that's the best you can do. But what God has designed, what his plan is for us learning and connecting in God-centered hope generation to generation. So let me put a scripture on each of those. Those that are older, I'd love to give you Psalm 78, verse 18. And let's, as we get older, let's make this our prayer. And essentially is, Lord, don't let me die until I've told everybody you want me to tell. Even in old age, even gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. You've got a super important role till the very day the Lord takes you home. If you still have your mind, whatever physical strength may be failing, tell and proclaim to that other generation of God's power. Those stories that God has worked in you, those are wonderful stories for you to pass along to others. What a vital, vital role. And so don't think, hey, I'm checking out, I've done my thing. No, you're needed. Don't buy the lie that says, hey, move somewhere where you're only around people your own generation. What a horrible existence. We need one another. They need you. And find some young folks you can encourage wherever you live. And bless and tell your story. And let's speak a bit to those in those middle years. I think there's a tendency to think, hey, there's a program, Trinity's got that covered. Yep, we got, with the kids, oh, Trinity's got a program, we got that covered. Oh, youth, yeah, we got a program, we got that covered. Yeah, young adults, yeah, we're working on some programs, working on getting that covered, right? And I want to push back on that and say, no, it's you. Programs are worthless without relationship. So we infuse then these structures that we have, whatever they are, with relationships. So where's the relationships for you? And where can your relationships be fostered through the programs that we have? And whether that's VBS, TCC Kids, Inside Out, helping out in other ways, connecting with young adults, find those things that have your assignment and do that listening and telling. Do that listening and telling. Now there's, in the imagery of Psalm 78, verse 4, there's sort of a backhanded kind of, man, this is what you don't want to do. We will not hide them. Because if you're not intentionally investing, the default is you actually literally hide God's glorious deeds. Because you're in no way intentionally making them known. So the next generation, you can't blame them because you didn't tell them because you hid them from them. Don't hide them, but tell the glorious deeds and his might and the wonders that he has done. We'll unpack more of those in the coming weeks. And if you're young, you're in the chain. You are in the chain. One generation shall commend your works to another, and you may be telling the next generation. You know what? One thing I've seen in healthy churches and where there's great gospel movements is oftentimes the young ones are actually influencing the older folks. Because they're on fire with the Spirit of God, and they're seeking God and setting their hope in God, and they're not saying, hey, I'm going to cruise, you know, kind of one notch below mom and dad and their generation. They're saying, mom and dad, what's with you guys? We got to go after Jesus and what's really important. And when that happens, exciting things are happening. So if you're young, you're in the chain. You might even be working backwards up. One generation shall commend your works to another. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be his praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And you know, I want to encourage us around the priority of worshiping God. Psalm 79, verse 13. But we, your people, sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. We have a wonderful privilege of coming together, 9 decades represented here in this community of believers. Yeah, and there's a lot of folks that are not your age. So, but you're a part of this intergenerational community for a purpose. Connecting with those that are older, connecting with those that are younger, helping us to stir up this God-centered hope in God from generation to generation, passing that on to more. And I would encourage all of us in the coming weeks to say, hey, getting there on Sunday to praise God together with the intergenerational community of believers is a high priority for me because it's a high priority for God. And not just sort of saying, yeah, whatever, and just kind of like, hey, stay home and I can be connected. No, we need to be together. And so many wonderful things happen when we are. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. You know, Psalm 78 is sort of like a highlight reel of God's mighty acts in the Old Testament. We're gonna kind of look at this highlight reel in the coming weeks. It's sort of like if you picture kind of your favorite athlete or team, it's like, hey, you know, when he did that one and they did that one and that was a great victory or whatever. Psalm 78 is kind of like that. And of course, if you think about God's grand work in that sense of the highlight reel of noticing, recounting, reminding, and telling of the glorious deeds of the Lord, verse 4. The Lord's Supper is really kind of a similar thing. Because the ultimate highlight in the highlight reel of history is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The perfect Son of God suffered in the place of sinners to secure full forgiveness and then rose triumphant from death in the defeat of all that opposes God. So we're going to remember and celebrate. We're going to declare and be reminded of that glorious deed of God as we end today's service with the Lord's Supper, remembering the redeeming death of Jesus on the cross, the greatest of these glorious deeds of God. And we want to invite each one, whatever your age, if you have a personal faith in Jesus, you have personally set your hope in Jesus as your Savior, the one who delivered you by his death, then you're invited to receive the Lord's Supper with us as we celebrate in a community of believers, generation to generation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your mighty work of coming, giving yourself on the cross, suffering, and bearing the punishment, the wrath of God that we deserved. And by that, securing not only forgiveness, but a righteous status before a holy God forever and ever, Lord. What an amazing gift. And so we praise you. We praise you for your death for sinners, and we praise you for your victory over death, so that we have confidence, Lord, that death is overcome in victory, and that eternal life is offered to each one who personally sets their hope in you. Lord, stir up in us and in our community of believers, Lord, this kind of God-centered connection, so that more and more of current and coming generations would set their hope in you. Lord, help no one to think this is somebody else's role, Lord, but help all of us to see that you have designed the body of Christ so that each of these generations has importance in advancing your work. So guide us, Lord, grow us, shape us and mold us as we explore this topic and this important scripture in the coming weeks. And guide us now as we remember on this Sunday, Lord, this Lord's Day, we remember and celebrate Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. Pray that each one who personally trusted him would draw near to him and be even more setting their hope in him. Lord, we thank you for that amazing gift. He is our confidence. We trust in him. And we pray this in his name. Amen.